Blog Talk Radio.
Take a mile, night is falling. You deserve an award for the role that you played. No more masquerade. You're only his star. I've always been in love with you. I guess I bet you know it's true. You took my words for granted. Why? The show is over. Say goodbye. Say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Hi, it's Jane Hoffman. Yes, I'm a little slack. We have a caller from Reno, and I know who it is. Tonight's show, Don, I'm pulling you in 30 seconds. So Baltimore, the six cops got crimes ranging from manslaughter to second-degree murder, and yet people are still in the streets. Are they celebrating or are they protesting? Either way, they're breaking curfew. Now, what that means for Americans is this. Baltimoreans are fed up to their necks with poor relations with police community officers that have suppressed the black, I don't want to say minority, but the black race in Baltimore for over 10 years. Watch the movie Boys of Baraka and you know what I'm talking about. Or are they just celebrating a coming together, a sort of consensus of law enforcement meeting them at their level, at the level of respect that they somehow think they deserve? I'm going to pull John and Don together. You're both on the show. How's it going?
Good evening. Fine here from Reno, Nevada, the new capital of military exercises.
Well,
I'm in Duluth. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say it's good to be alive and well in California, the last bastion of peace on the planet. And how is the peaceful world of Minnesota?
We're on the advent of starting May 17th, they have a week-long festival called Dylan Fest, celebrating Bob Dylan's birthday. Even though he doesn't claim his he doesn't claim his homeland, and I started off the weekend by going to a video presentation at a coffee house of rare Bob Dylan footage, in which him and his quadriplegic friend were pretty much rapping on stage.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't want to throw the conversation off. Okay, so tonight's episode is It's Up to You to Save America, How the Masses Are Circling Today. So apparently it's good enough for Baltimore residents to think they're vindicated now by being charged with murder ranging from manslaughter to second-degree murder. It's kind of a continuation of John and my topic Thursday night, and it's not just about racism or bad cops. What I'm really trying to say is that the party continued after the presentation by Marilyn Mosby, the city's district attorney coming from five generations of police family to charge six police officers fairly quickly, because this incident only happened April 12th, in the death of Freddie Gray. And I think six indictments or whatever is going to be too hard to prove. I think it's going to end up like another Rodney King, and there's going to be hell to pay about a year from now. Does anyone have a comment?
You want to go ahead, John?
Oh yeah, I'll start off. I tend to, in these kind of discussions, favor law and enforcement. Not that they're right, but that I was telling Jane earlier on the last show, it kind of breaks down to what side you're going to be on. Do you want the homies to run the street, or do you want the cops to run the streets? 90% of the time, I'm not scared of the cops busting into my place or my church and shooting it up. I am concerned when I'm on the bus and homeless drug dealers get on there, and then I get off the bus and there's a group of four or five guys, the thugs in the alleyway walking up beside me. Doesn't mean I've been pulled over and harassed by police. Even 3 months ago, I was handcuffed while they were questioning me because I had a 23-year-old guitarist, the one who shoots my videos, in the car, and we were going down a shady area because she lives in the hood. Late at night, about 1 o'clock, and they thought she was a prostitute, and I was a John, which I am John, so I guess they would be right. But the point of the whole deal is this: I feel that we're moving to a time where our whole society will, when they're starving and there's really no food and no jobs, people are going to start rioting. The very poor, because they have nothing to lose, to take from Whitey or from the upper middle class what they feel is theirs. And it's either going to be survival. I'm going to favor, the law presence to keep a little order than the homies. My solution is let the police back out and let all the homies take care of, all the brothers, guys. They'll run the streets.
Well, I got to throw something in here. First,
go for it.
John, just based on your description, it seems like all the impoverished people are people of color, which may be true in your neighborhood, but this Baltimore woman, Marilyn Mosby, is only 34 or 35 years old. She's not quite fresh out of law school because she was an assistant district attorney for Maryland before taking the command post of this job. But what I'm really talking about is cultural clashes. And I'm glad, and as somebody pointed out, in this city, they listen to the people about the distraughtness of this one man being treated poorly in custody. But it differs from Chicago to Boston to Baltimore. In Baltimore, as Sean Hannity pointed out today, the congressmen are black, the city councilmen are black, the mayor's black, the district attorney's black.
Three of the cops were black. Remember that.
Yeah, and, I think were the other three white, or was there another person of color?
No, I think there was three white, three black.
I guess the whole
women.
Thing is that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well,
one or two of them were women.
I have two major points, and I see where John was going with this, and I you know what? He's right. There's been a lot of times when I lived in L.A., when I was down in South Central, or if I was on a late-night train from Reseda to Long Beach, I wasn't necessarily comfortable. However, John, when I was down in Long Beach, I was more around more Latinos than I was blacks, per se. Not necessarily homeless either. But
yeah,
basically,
I think part of the problem that happens is cops are like regular people. There's bad ones, there's good ones. I think if you look at society, you got that 2 or 3% of people that are just criminals. They're just bad people. They end up in jail. And probably if you look at your police force or religious groups, there's always 2 to 5% of people. They're just bad. They're bad priests. They're bad policemen. They're bad mayors. They're bad politicians or whatever. And when those people act out, gets the headlines and gives the perception. Like example with Rodney King or the OJ trial, was it like 50-year-old women out in the streets, busting things up? Was it church going folks running out there? No, it was the guys on the street basically that were pissed off.
John. There are plenty of church going people with TVs and microwaves in their hands. Believe it.
Well, but where it started was in the streets with the guys on the street corners that were looking, for a chance to rumble. And I think if you look at most of the people out there, it's you know, people are looking for an excuse to go crazy, and then the sheep follow them. Same thing with these cops. I don't think all cops are, you know, shooting innocent people. I think there's a few running around. They're looking for a reason to let off some steam, and then it hits the headlines. I mean, that's my perception.
You're wrong. No, you're wrong, because the police are there to protect, to serve and protect. It doesn't say who. They're not serving and protecting the community. They're serving and protecting banks and
right.
and investments and personal white property. That's what they're protecting. They're not protecting. When I say that, I mean the 1%ers. That's what they're protecting, serving and protecting. They're not protecting you and me and regular people. I mean, what kind of ridiculous crap is it that you are going to be cuffed driving through a neighborhood? Why do they even give you a probable cause to stop? It's not, that's not protecting you. That is just, that's making you seem like a criminal. And you're not. And the bottom line is that
in this case, Freddie Gray, had he not run, had Freddie Gray not run, he would have never been arrested, because there was no probable cause to arrest him. He just looked two officers in the eye. They looked at him. He got scared and he ran. They didn't say stop or I'm going to arrest you.
And that wouldn't have made a difference in some circumstances, because they would have just shot him in the back, just like they do always. The cowards are
just like in
out
South
there.
Carolina, where that guy got like, shot when he ran.
Just like the little 12-year-old boy running up to the police to say hi with a gun in his hand. Less than two seconds later, he's not with us anymore. You know, and this happens all day, every day, and nobody should be surprised. I would be laughing if it was an independent occurrence. But no, it's not. It happens every day. Black men everywhere are afraid for their lives. I've mentioned this before. But, you know, none of this is going to matter if, in fact, over a couple of months or a couple of years, we've got the Glasnov directive, which I've mentioned before again, where there is a new BRICS central bank, and they're getting ready to destroy the United States central bank very soon, and it's going to be martial law. It's already being implemented. All the Walmarts are going to be their staging areas. It's called the Jade Helm 15, and that's J-A-D-E-L-M.
Okay, well, I'd like to get into conspiracy theories, but let me put this forth, because John and I hashed over this material quite heavily Thursday night. First of all, there was a driver of a van. They stopped twice. During the whole time, Freddie Gray never got buckled in properly. There was two compartments to put prisoners. Another guy joined them later, a guy named Rodriguez, who claimed that Freddie Gray was screaming. Now, the thing is he was never locked in there right, but when they knew he was irate, they put leg irons on him. They pinned him down tummy first on the floor of the van. So this dude was, Freddie Gray, was sliding around in leg irons and probably some kind of handheld device. And his spine cracked, and he went into a coma. By the time that he got to the police station, I believe he was already knocked out. But the fact of the matter is I think it's going to be really hard for Marilyn Mosby to prove that people involved, including people who checked on him in the back and people back at the station, including one black police officer, it's going to be hard to convict all six of those people of a crime.
That's because they're police officers with a black victim. Blacks will be lucky to have one conviction. That's why I'm saying, there's no worry about this. Jade Helm, look it up, J-A-D-E-H-E-L-M. It's meant to disarm by force, military force, the population. And we're looking at the reason there'll be a cyber attack on our banks, and they will be shut down.
When?
This is starting in July 1st, as when they start implementing it. July 15th is when the
so
military.
So you think we're all going to be screwed?
We're going to have military, just in another couple of months, military invasion on our own soil. And it's going to be under the auspices of ISIS, cyber hacking, and they'll say that that's that, that'll attack our financial system. And I've seen it, I've been talking about it, I've seen it coming for a long time. The reason the Chinese have been amassing large amounts of gold is because they know that there's going to be a breakdown in the financial world, global financial system. So we're looking at it right now. It's going to be honest, and anyone with 401ks or much money in the bank, they're going to be screwed, and they're going to be yelling, and they're going to be the ones rioting. We're going to be all put in, you know, the
Walmart.
Well,
we're insured $100,000 by the FDIC, and we are kind of getting off topic. You know, I don't mind discussing it. The Washington Post,
Australia. No, this
but,
is all
you know,
part of.
We're
Jay,
all going to go down one
Baltimore.
Way or the other, and I'm not prepared.
Jane, this is all about Baltimore. Baltimore is a test ground. When they brought in the National Guard and developed the curfews that you were talking about, this is all a testing, more modern testing zone. They let them tear down and burn up some of the shops. They let them do it in Baltimore. This is more than Gray. This is way more than Freddie Gray. You asked the question at the outset. Is this a celebration? Or,
okay,
you know,
I'm reading it, but let's have John comment on this, and then I want to read a paragraph what the Washington Post said.
Go for it.
Well, you know, several times we've mentioned over various shows, I've said at certain point, any president has to do, if they're a little shady, and I'm not saying our president is, I'm just saying somewhere along the line. It just takes one person to say, you know, like, we can't control the people. They're out of control. I have to restore order.
Exactly.
And I'm sending out the National Guard, sending out the, you know, my military. I got all my generals lined up with me. And and we'll suspend all your rights, martial law, and suspend the Constitution. And it's something that, if there is going to be a new world order or an Armageddon or an apocalypse kind of thing, this kind of thing will have to happen somewhere along the line. Is it going to happen right now or this year? I don't know. But I do know that these are just, you know, I've seen this before. L.A. was in lockdown where it's like you can't go out at night. You know, when we had the Rodney King things in certain areas, you got to stay in and it's dangerous. And we're doing it for our safety. Scripture says
same
in Revelation that people will say peace and safety and then sudden destruction. They'll sell their souls just to get a meal as long as you have a strong leader. So is this something new? I mean, we've seen this throughout history, whether it's with Rome, whether it's Babylon,
not.
Greece.
We have another caller that's piped in as anonymous. Anonymous caller, we will take your call, but I need to read something first. Okay, I don't care what direction this show goes in, you guys, and that was a lot of good points, by the way, John. I have to tell you guys two things before we get heavily into this topic, though. The fundraising website GoFundMe started a campaign to support the six black and white officers in Baltimore, but they were shut down by the California-based website. Now, remember, I think GoFundMe might have been... They're the ones who shut down two Christian fundraisers, too, during the gay wedding strife in Indiana. But they remember Zimmerman got over $250,000 in legal bills paid by right-wing organizations that were not supporting Trayvon Martin. Now, I just want to say one more thing. I got to click on four different windows. What Don's talking about, the Jade Helm 15, and he was right about the date, it's going to run July 15th to September 15th. The mission is vast both geographically and strategically. Elite service members from four branches of the U.S. military will launch an operation this summer in which they will operate covertly among the U.S. public and travel from state to state in military aircraft. Texas, Utah, and a section of Southern California are labeled as hostile territory, and New Mexico isn't much friendlier. That's the scheme for Jade Helm, a new special operations exercise that runs from the dates I mentioned. Special Operations Command announced it last week, saying the size and scope of the mission sets it apart from many other training exercises. The nature of warfare is always changing in the U.S., and the U.S. Army Special Operations Command's mission is to make certain the Army's various special operation forces are trained, equipped, and organized to successfully conduct worldwide special operations in support of our national interests. Army Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria, command spokesman, said in an email, training exercise Jade Helm is going to assist our special ops soldiers and leadership in refining the skills needed against an ever-changing foreign threat. Okay, well, I'm not going to read anymore, but basically, if I were to read this article instead of listen to Don, I wouldn't be scared. Now, it's true that over 30 people residing in America have been charged with trying to escape America to go fight for ISIS. To me, it just sounds like a four-tier branch operations that are going to be testing their power in the U.S. just to see if they're capable of handling a crisis.
Partially. The quick note, the CIA and the Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, are ISIS. Go ahead.
What?
They're interesting.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it, though.
Non-state terrorist actors.
ISIS at first was not Muslim Islam. It was a Catholic invention 1,000 years ago, and or 1,200 years ago.
Well, you're going to have to define it in proper terms.
Well, for the most part, they are going to fly the flag. They're planning on probably around Lubbock, Texas. They're going to fly the. They're going to give a go signal. This whole thing, Jade Helm, is a software program. That's what it is. And the reason that they're doing all of this is so that they can destroy the banking system. And they want to do that so that they can, if they stop all the banks, you got zeros coming up. You don't know who's taking what. And that's what this whole purpose is for.
What's going to stop people from taking all their money out of the bank by June 30th?
That's the idea. You do it by June 30th. You go ahead and you take your money out of the banks, out of your 401ks, out of mutuals, and you put them.
Are you
going to
do it?
I'm talking about that right now. We've got a little substantial little money, and I don't get alarmed. Believe me, but I tell you, I don't get scared. And this is making me alarmed. And there might be a possibility that precious metals, this is the time where, if you look at the graphs, every time the dollar is at a high, gold is at low. Every time gold is at a high, dollars are low. Right now, they're at perfect sync as the gold is low and the dollar is high. So that means that there's going to be the flip. You're going to have the dollar again low. And you're going to have, and that's coming with the GLAZEV, GLAZIEV directive, where you're going to have the new central bank of the BRICS. And the yuan, the Chinese yuan, is going
I don't
to be
really
the,
care what happens, work. But Don, realistically, Don, you have to think of all the banking institutions, all the banking employees, all the people who get direct deposit, all the corporations and even companies like mine that hire 300 to 500 people, they put all their trust in banks and their distribution of payroll. I mean, I'm going to be realistic and negate this whole thing. I'm bringing in the anonymous caller. Let's see what he or she has to say.
Go for it.
Good evening. This is Blog Talk Radio, Political Gravity. You're on the air.
Hello, good evening there. I hope you're having a wonderful evening. And hello to all the listeners out there as well.
Good evening. I like your accent.
thanks for joining us. And how do you feel about some of the statements? Do you think it's a little over the edge, or are we hitting some reality?
Well, Jade Helm is something that's rumored to be happening, just as Y2K was rumored to be happening. I think this might have a little bit more truth to it. However, I think also people might be somewhat overreacting. The United States has been militarized for a very long time. All of those tanks and things that you see being implemented have been there for a long time. So essentially people are getting hysterical only now because they're seeing the tanks and the armored cars and that sort of thing. So really essentially what's actually happening is that people are just noticing it more, but it's always been there. That's the thing.
Well, what
well
thing,
I've been stopped what eight thing? Times in the last 2 years and I've never even gotten a ticket. So what's the threat level of living in a mid-sized city in Minnesota for a white person?
Right now, none, because this threat, as our caller called it, is not directed towards the upper Midwest. They're going to do it in quadrants, apparently. But the one thing that the caller, I wanted the caller to know is I work right next to the airport here in Reno, Nevada, and we are one of the major military National Guard deployment military bases in the country. And I've noticed an appreciable increase in military activity. Everybody has in military activity. So,
one thing that Jane has stated, and there's a false sense of security where they say, our money is, you know, FDIC, it's covered. Well, if everyone if we had to cover everyone's money, it's only about 3% coverage, I think. Like basically,
exactly.
You get $2 or $3 on, you know, out of 100. So if there was a panic, most everyone would be SOL. So we have to keep that in mind. That's just a false sense of security. I think what you will see is, somewhere along the line, you're going to see panic and inflation. We've tripled our deficit, you know, in the last 8 years or 6 years. That's going to take an effect. It has to come into play. You're going to see prices double, triple, and quadruple, and hyperinflation. And at some point, the dollar, the way we're rolling, is going to collapse. And I'm not being doomsday about it. I'm just being realistic.
It may not, John.
I'm not so much of it's going to happen tomorrow or next month, just somewhere in the process of time. You know, monies and currencies change. It's just the history of the world. But I like our caller. Is he still on the line? And does he have any input on
it? Yes, he is still on the line.
Yes. Currency essentially is a control mechanism. You know, when people start to realize that history has a lot to teach us and start looking at these things, then it all becomes a lot more clear. If you go and read Anatoly Golitsyn, I think that's how you pronounce his name, but definitely the last name is Golitsyn. He was a KGB defector from India. He was actually based. He was based in India, and decided that he didn't want to work for the United Soviet States of Russia any longer, and he defected to Canada, where he got involved with broadcasting and also wrote a few books. And one of the things he said was, with his insider knowledge, he said that the United States is going to be turned into the USSR, okay, with socialism and all that sort of thing gradually. And you're going to see a massive surge in the United Soviet States of Russia suddenly in the next few years. He wrote this before the change in Russia. You're going to see a change, and all of a sudden Russia is going to be like a democracy. And this is called what you might call almost similar to Gnostic dualism. It's like a pattern that you can use in nature to be able to control things, because even if you look at tides, at the way that the tide comes in and it goes out, it comes in and it goes out. We have opposites in the world. We have the moon and the sun. And as long as you're controlling the process of shift in the global economy and you're constantly shifting it, then you control that balance. Because if you're constantly bringing one nation down as you bring another one up, then you get the tide shifting in the other direction. You bring that in the next 100 years, you bring that nation down and you bring the other one up. And that's how you maintain that balance of control, like a seesaw, like when you look at a scale, a balance of scales. As soon as it reaches equilibrium, then everything's even for everyone. But as long as the scales are tipped, then you can constantly keep a process going. But if a particular group of people, such as in the United States, start getting very, very, very well educated, and they start getting very, very, very well informed, which has happened now since the invention of the internet, and since the United States has continued to prosper, even despite the Federal Reserve for many years, the United States was very prosperous. You need to tip those scales back in the other direction so that you can maintain control. And that's what's occurring right now. The scales are tipping. And the idea is that the bankers are going to bring the United States down to close to the level of a third world nation, maybe over the next 100 years. And the rest of the world will be coming up. But the end game now is to create equilibrium in a sense that if there can be enough technological control, in terms of things like microchipping and all sorts of other technologies, then it's okay to have an equilibrium where, you know, where you can have, well, it's more like Atlantis, where you have levels of control in rings. If I could use that sort of visual picture, if you know how Atlantis, some people say it used to be laid out. Or if you've ever seen the movie called, I think it was Out of Time, or I can't remember, but it had Justin Timberlake in it. Maybe someone can help you with that. But anyhow,
in Amanda's history,
there's different
how about places? I'll give you two examples. North Dakota has established a new oil kingdom, and the United States and Saudi Arabia single-handedly shut out Russia in the last 6 months from the from making oil profits. It was a conscious effort by two superpowers to shut out Russia.
Russia did that to itself.
No, it didn't.
The invasion of Ukraine. They can't ship their oil out.
Well, Russia screwed by the international community. But how about ISIS itself, the one I'm talking about, Don, not yours, the ones that they go around and kill people, they cross borders, they kill refugees. I mean, not all humans can be controlled. There's different segments of the human population in different countries that are not controlled by the government.
But I think, Jay, what we're kind of missing, what our caller kind of pointed out, this isn't about U.S., Russia, China. This is about people with money. You know, rich people in America, they don't have their money in our country. They put it in overseas banks. Shuffling the deck, it confuses us because we're common people. We have no idea how this stuff works. They're just shuffling the deck so the money keeps being distributed among the power rich that are in all different countries.
You got it.
And basically, at the end of the day, you know, that 2 or 3% is still rich, and they're smiling, and they're in their, you know, their boys' club, and our president goes to his fancy, you know, dinners and things, and Hillary's kind of like a, you know, will be like a centralist kind of person. She'll just continue this tradition. I have friends in the Jewish community. I'm not Jewish, but in L.A., and literally peaceful, I mean, loving, kind, gentle people, and they'll sit and we talk, and they'll say, by the way, there's a bunker in my house. I have weapons. This is what you need to get. You need to get a 9mm. You need to get, you know, semi-automatic. I can hook you up with this or that. When it all goes down, 2 phone calls in each block, we've got sections and grids. I have friends. When I first moved to L.A., my upstairs neighbors were Mormons. And, again, friendly, loving people. They had their own radio system to contact on the West Coast in Salt Lake. And a couple of calls, and they know where to meet, what to do, weapons, food distribution, and we're sitting around just like with our head up our rear end going, I don't see it. Didn't see it coming.
It's
called lazy.
Yes.
Getting comfortable.
Go ahead, caller. And by the way, are you calling from?
I'm actually based in Africa at the moment.
Okay. Wow. He's calling from his bunker.
So he knows all about he knows all about apartheid then. So that's what's coming.
Yes, I think in English it would be more accurately described as segregation. But yes, and actually I had to YouTube a lot of it because I was about 12 years old when it ended. So it's something that I don't know all about, but I have Googled it.
By the way, our home base is Minnesota, and we have a caller from L.A. and Reno, Nevada. I'm the Minnesotan. I'm also a California
and South African.
Well, then I'm not going to – your call said anonymous, so I'm not going to pressure you too much, you know, but welcome to the show. But you
well,
guys can go on.
I'm calling from a voice over IP. Voice over IP system. So, unfortunately, it allocates any number or possibly even an anonymous number because of the way the system works.
Mm-hmm.
But, as long as
what
the
were
first
you saying?
Two initials on J. What, John? What? I was going to make a joke, but I forgot the second punchline. What were you going to say, Don? As long as there's initials on J-H.
Yeah,
Jade
no,
Helm.
They're not. Yeah, no, they're not. That's as I said, a software program.
Well, Don,
but,
why did you have
you know,
to throw this monkey wrench in the show? I was just liking America.
Because America is the most despicable place that has been probably since the Roman Empire. However, it's better than the rest. You know, as I mentioned before, we're looking at... You know, that's one of the reasons I live in Reno, Nevada. We're very well protected. We're high in the mountain ranges, 5,000 feet, 4,500 feet. We've got all the military bases, protections from climate, things like that. Now, you've heard the earthquakes and things like that. You know, we don't have those here very often. We're in a very nice place. And everyone should come to beautiful Lake Tahoe once in a while. We go there.
Boy, aren't we the self-promoter tonight? Did you know Oklahoma's had 20 minor earthquakes this year from fracking?
But
so,
they're not
I think,
from fracking. Some of them are not
I think
from
humanity
fracking.
As a whole can screw up on their own. We don't need the Jade Helm.
But they're not from fracking, all of them. They're from them. The one percenters building their underground bunkers. They have to make the explosions to make the cavities for their prep.
Brother.
Yeah. No, but some
okay,
of them are.
Okay, next person.
Well,
can
I
we
think,
talk about the Brady Bunch?
Well, Jane, it's starting to get good now. We're getting to the good stuff, you know.
You guys
and,
are ruining my rose-colored world. I'm going to shut up now and let you take over.
Baltimore is as bad as Ferguson, and Ferguson is not rose-colored. And all the other things that are in between, Trayvon, Matt, before, and who knows whom else, none of that is rose-colored, you know, unless you want to talk blood rose.
Well, you know what? I saw a movie called Boys of Baraka about 20 men that they, 27th and 8th graders, they sent to Kenya to get them the hell out of Baltimore because their parents wanted them to survive. And they went for 2 years so they could learn self-sustaining skills and how to survive in an environment different than an urban nightmare. So... Somebody else can go now.
Well, I was going to say, Jane, is don't get too disillusioned. I mean, because America is a great country. We put out really great high-definition action movies. We make superior weapons.
Charlie Davidson.
And Las Vegas, Nevada, will probably be the West Coast capital when California sinks into the ocean. With the next great earthquake. So, you know, it's going to be good. But I think the main thing is that we need to know who we are and keep calm because there'll be a lot of panic, whether now or whether later, with the economy, we need to live simple, not get too attached to this world and act like mad, crazy dogs. And I think that's part of the problem. You don't have strong leaders in the community. And people start panicking, and it kind of goes back to a deeper issue. At the core issue is spirituality. You can't legislate morality. You can make laws, but you can't legislate for people just to be good cops or to be good businessmen. Or we've taken God out of our schools, and we've kind of got this atheistic kind of secular view, and kids grow up with this and they become animal in their behavior. And I have restraint because I was raised with certain values that I don't want to compromise. But I can understand a kid on the street, if he doesn't have that, he's going to be, dog eat dog and survival of the fittest. So I think that's kind of where we're going as a society. And we've got to find out, do we want to have a spiritual, moral kind of, a community, or do we want to have more secular kind of atheistic? That's my input.
Why doesn't John or the other caller comment?
What's the other caller's take about that? Being from out of the state.
Well, actually, my take on it is that, and I really am very, very fascinated by this at the moment, because in everybody's lives, we all have to determine how much time and energy can we put into something. And unfortunately, for people that would love to live in a world where everything works out, statistically, and if you look at it scientifically, we all only have so much energy to be able to connect with a certain amount of people, to be able to attempt to live in harmony with said people on planet Earth, whether it's in a sustainable community in a relatively safe environment, or whether it's in business and being able to have enough resources to get out of a major city or out of a particular hot zone when you need to. Everyone actually wants to get to a point where they can live optimally, safely enough that their life is not under threat. And when you look
Reno,
at the statistics, when you look at the statistics, unfortunately, the conclusion that I'm coming to more and more, I was on a call earlier on where they were talking about basically a lot of these different, or there's two calls. A lot of it was all about different issues, about people getting shot. It's actually a peripheral issue, as sad as it really is. It's a peripheral issue to our personal development, statistically speaking, because, and it's unfortunate, it's very unfortunate. For most people, though, we find ourselves in this position. I can tell you right now that the average Rothschild that's part of the Rothschild dynasty does not call Block Talk Radio. They have no interest in it. They have no need for it. that's because their statistic situation is not as difficult as most. In terms of calling into shows, earlier on I called into a show where I tried to put in some knowledge, and I literally just got shouted down because I was from a different place and I'm of a different culture to the particular people I was speaking to. And I thought, this is very sad, because this is the very thing that keeps people divided. When you have polarization,
exactly.
And what's going on even now, as we're trying to come up with solutions, I'm realizing that I should actually be calling in less and less, because even though I want to do my bit for humanity,
No,
I appreciate that. I really do. But in my
sir,
own...
I don't know your first name, but and I will get.
My
what
name
is
Andrew.
Your first name?
My name is Andrew.
Pardon? Okay, Andrew.
My name's Andrew.
I just feel fortunate enough to live in America. I'm 54 years old. I was 15 mm-hmm. when the Vietnam War ended. I've never had a famine. I've never missed a meal unless I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I've never had a disease. I did have a child that died of a heart transplant. She was almost age 2, but I've lived a great life of great opportunity. I've lived in 7 states in 8 different cities. I've never been deprived of anything. And if I were to be deprived of anything now, I wouldn't really feel so bad. I feel like I've had a fortunate life, even if I'm not a Rothschild.
Well, here's
right.
a question for Don. Oh, by the way, Andrew, I appreciate you calling in. I've said before, knowledge is power. And it's good that you are bringing up some points. And we need to not act like we know everything, because you can't learn anything. I try to come in, I'm confident of what I believe, but I try to come in as if I know nothing. And that way I can absorb, and learn something from each person.
Well, we're all neophytes. We're all neophytes in one way or another on various other issues. So you've got a very good point.
I'm wondering, though, Don, since you're in Nevada, do we have any odds on as far as we can put some money down on when these events will, if they're going to transpire by the dates you've discussed?
The dates are pretty much set. It's the motion of the plan. They're, as I mentioned, looking to possibly do quadrants, and that's why you see the takeover of the Walmarts, the closing of the Walmarts for some of these issues. Pico Rivera, I believe one in Whittier, one in South Carolina, one in Georgia. The Walmarts are perfect staging areas. They have plenty of room inside. You can actually, they have auto bays, so they can bring the tanks and weaponry in for maintenance. They can actually put in different parts of the store cells for the prisoners, things like that. And they've got plenty of food. This is going to be Chinese. May even have a play a hand in some of this because they pretty much own Walmart. But
wow,
the time frame is open because originally the July 15th through September is their rollout, their trial, and the Southwest is targeted, Texas and Utah especially. That's because they're enemies of the state, or hostile is what they call them.
Do you think this will happen all within Obama's term? In other words, or will this just carry
this
on, Obama's, whether through him or through Hillary or whoever?
This is Obama's get back. This is Obama's get back. He's angry. He's upset. He is mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. He's had enough of I don't want to call it red deck, but he's had enough of the right wing, and their gun-toting ways and their obstinance and being obnoxious, which is why the rest of the world can't stand the United States. Only one country really likes us, and that's Canada. But for the most part, his get-back is to more or less begin militarizing the states to get rid of that gun-toting culture. To just imprison them as much as possible. So that's what what I see. Now let me take that back, or let me adjunct that with that's my opinion of the end game. But for the most part, I think that his anger is enough to where he would actually be the principal in something like this, whereas I couldn't have imagined it, let's say, 2 years ago. But, the frustrations and his capability of revenge and his status with the banking industry. He has always been a Goldman guy. He's always been a JP guy, always Citi. And so, he's one of their boys. And so this is the opportunity.
What exactly are they going to accomplish? I mean, first of all,
I already mentioned. This is the destruction.
I got six boxes of Ritz crackers in the cupboard. And Minnesota still has good water, so I don't have to buy bottled water. What can they do to us poor folk?
You go out and buy as many cows as you can. That's what you do in Minnesota.
Cows?
You started llama farm. I don't care. It's about commodities. And we're going to be forced to live back on the land in some form or another instead of being able to go to the store with, as this is what the caller mentioned, John mentioned, the hyperinflation. We're going to have interest rates all of a sudden fly out of the banks. The banks are going to hold all the money they can for as long as they can, and they'll zero out some accounts. And these are going. That's just what the Jade Helm. The software is for that reason.
The thing to keep in mind, Jane, is people are expendable. Rich people, they want the resources. In fact, they may even go, let's confiscate Minnesota. We need some of the dairy thing, and we need some of the land in California or whatever. we'll use it for what it suits our purposes. We have to seize control of it. So people are expendable, just like in China. You know, hey, we got 1 billion people, so we lose 500 million in a nuke. You know, it doesn't matter as long as our leadership is stable and we have bunkers
right.
for the rich people. We're okay. We're good to go. So
and there's
going to
be
go ahead.
There's going to be a new song, or a new reason behind the song "Blacks and Whites Together." When you say, "We shall overcome," because we're all going to be in the same concentration camps together.
You know what? I hope the rapture of the church is before that. But about 2 years ago, my friend's sister called me from Orange County, and she was freaking out because there was all this military activity in the air. And what happened was, a drone got loose somewhere in Orange County, and they were trying to track it down. And Obama had made a speech somewhere around there that same day, and there was also that, the Air Force One, and it was a bunch of commotion, and she was literally freaking out, like she was having a psychotic episode because she thought her apartment was going to be taken over.
It could have happened if you're an enemy state.
If they needed her apartment, they would have taken it. You know, it's just, just the thing is, you have to look at your resources. Do we really want it? Like, you know, who really wants to take Alaska? You know, maybe it has a purpose. But the point is,
Alaska is the number one. It's going to be a number one target.
I can believe it, you know, because there are certain resources there. You kind of have to go to where the, you know, people vote, like who has power, East Coast, you know, New York, financial centers. California, when it comes to voting, it's like it doesn't matter. By the time we vote, the election's already decided. There's a lot of things we put value
That's not in. True, because California has 33 electoral votes.
Depends on what year it is. Go on, John.
We are in the recording. We do have another caller, but I'm not going to bring him in for a couple minutes.
What I'm saying with California,
am I still on the line?
Yeah,
you are, Andrew, and feel free to talk when we're not butting in.
It's more the money.
I just wanted to say something about the voting, etc.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just jumping in because it's a wild call. Basically, you know, what's really going on here is that there's different levels of knowledge. So if you understand the mystery schools, for example, which is a very esoteric way of saying people that collaborate together that have particular knowledge, then you'll notice that there's a deep connection between, say, for example, Ivy League schools, people that get into office and high positions in various different companies, corporations, and so forth, and the banking elite. So what's going on here really is that it's a knowledge-based economy, and the people on the bottom end of the spectrum, they don't even see this generally, okay? People don't even see this. So what happens is you get to a point where when somebody even tries to explain some of these things to other people, either they're too busy being freaked out by operations like Jade Helm as a great example, or people are polarized in a religious view and they can't say, well, if you can't beat them, join them, or even at least work with those people within an existing ecosystem, because the whole world is an ecosystem.
Right.
And people can't break through those barriers. So unfortunately, the vast majority of people live in either being polarized by some kind of religious view, an extreme religious view in many cases, or people are polarized by their political views. And then when you try to explain a lot of these things to people, they tend to actually fight. It's like I hate to use the Matrix
or
shut because
down.
It's become cliche. Pardon?
Or shut down.
Sorry?
Right. Or get angry.
Oh, yeah. Or people shut down. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the part where...
We can hear you, Andrew, but... I'm one of those people that I freaked out because I really wasn't prepared for this tonight, even though I have a master's degree. I feel like I'm acting a little stupid.
Don't worry about it.
Well,
Andrew, finish what you were saying.
I don't know what your name is. But I don't know what your name is, sir, but you made the best comments that I've, one of the best comments that I've heard on the show. You said, you need to go and get cows. Now, that's a very practical solution because you don't have enough time to be able to get to the point where you can create an empire for yourself. But you do have enough time, perhaps, to connect with a local farmer and say, right, I've got $10,000 that I've saved up. At least I'm going to put a bet on, I'll buy three or four cows. Now, if I can help you through the internet to sell your produce and milk or whatever it is that you're busy producing, could I become a small shareholder in your farm? And if anything does happen, could you allocate me a, it could be as small as a 15 meter by 15 meter space where I can build a tiny little dwelling place, a structure where if anything did happen, I could retreat to that place. And then you say, could we split this up into a system where I can get maybe 100 other families involved? All of a sudden now you have an alternative in a time of massive upheaval. You have an alternative that might last you for a year or two as things are changing. If it gets to the point like in Soviet Russia where eventually people say, well, now, basically, if you're one of those capitalists or if you're one of those people that has resources you need, that at that point it's game over because you no longer have any bargaining chips. When it starts getting towards that point, you have to think about how to live under those conditions. So that's essentially the reality. But that's a 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. So exactly what this gentleman said, something that will be an immediate income stream if the economy went belly up, if you have a 1930s situation. I don't think that's going to happen. I stand with someone
it'll
like
Paul
Stoway.
It'll be a
gradual, ongoing change. But
it'll happen, though.
Well, also, too, you know, what might happen is the soldiers going through the countryside.
Yeah,
and
gradually,
confiscate.
I think anything else.
They may take whatever resources you have. However,
right.
They'll probably start with the big cities.
At which point, you think about before that happens, when you see that starting to occur, if you hear of anything like in one state they've confiscated things under national security, it's a good time to start considering, do I have enough resources to have a second base of operations? So you might go down to Chile, for example, somewhere and have a second base of operations where 100 families have set up shop. And ultimately, you know what? It's not perfect. But if you don't want to live in a situation where now you can't trade with China because your government said, well, everything belongs to us, I don't think that's going to actually happen in the United States. I think what's going to happen is that it's going to gradually merge into a lot of poor people, okay, a lot of poor people busy dying off eating GMO food, et cetera, just dying based on the fact that there's wars and there's this and there's that. But over the next 50 to 100 years, I think you're going to see America adjust to become something similar to – I'm trying to think of the very best example for you now. Something like Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where you have lots of poor people still, not massive overpopulation necessarily, but lots of poor people and very wealthy people, which are farming the land. Brazil's a great example of that, taking all the resources out of the land, having innovation, etc. But it's more of a third world nation than a first world nation. So you have less very wealthy people, but they'll be there. And then it's four trading blocks that are emerging. You know, Europe's a trading block. You've got your four trading blocks. And that's how it's going to evolve. And in the meantime, you know, investing in offshore things like Africa's on the up and up, that all of the frontiers. In other words, if you're a cattle farmer right now, Russia's a great place to go if it doesn't go to war with the United States. But up until now, Russia's been a great place because they've been giving farms and cattle to people at no cost with a 40% profit share. I think it's up to 40% if you go and live in Russia because they need cattle farmers. So there's an opportunity for someone
to
go and spend.
You need to be a resident.
Yeah, so you need to be able to learn. You need to be able to learn Russian, obviously, and you also have to know your thing when it comes to cattle farming. But that's a great example of an opportunity where you might be able to, with the resources that you're getting from that, you might be able to live 6 months on in a beautiful Russian countryside with not many other people around, and 6 months in the States, especially if your family has been in cattle farming for generations. So, you know, that's a great opportunity right there. I don't know if the war is going to go off the way we think it might. I think they might go to war with Iran, very likely, because it's a hot zone. Mm-hmm. Israel might go to war with Iran, but I think it'll be a lot of proxies, for a very long time still, possibly even 5 years. If they do go to a hot war, even then, I don't think that the major cities, et cetera, are going to be bombed. I think you could even be in a hot war in the Middle East and still have various... I mean, Russia, have you taken a look at how big Russia is? If you're a cattle farmer in Russia, okay, on the right, close to the Chinese border, you know, even then, as long as you've got your cattle,
nobody,
you're not actually a direct... Pardon me?
Nobody will find you.
Well, basically, no, there's always a chance that someone would call in, well, we need extra cattle for the whatever, you know, but the chances are that, I mean, think about it. How long has America been at war, okay, since 9/11? It's over, well over a decade. And
we've been at war
a
lot
trading.
Longer than that. We've been at war.
No,
we've
sure.
Been at war,
I mean, I'm just giving 9/11.
1776.
But that's the most, the war on terror is the most recent war that people can remember, is why I'm using that as an example.
Right.
Since 9/11, I'm saying how many wars and how many countries has the United States attacked? Now, think about that for a second, you know, about stability. You know, if you were to split, I'm using cattle farming as the example, if you were to get involved in cattle farming now and then split your resources between something like Russia, North America, and then somewhere in South America, if you can get enough families together, you have the buying power to do this. Somewhere in South America and somewhere possibly in Africa or in the Asian continent, somewhere like maybe even outside of India. If you've got 4 or 5 cattle farms around the world, suddenly you're in a position to up and leave at any given time. Now you've entered into the position of people that have got multinational assets. And as soon as you, that's when you start using tax havens, that's when you start leveraging, that's your trade benefits. I mean, for example, I can go to the Exim Bank right now to get American tax dollars to be able to buy equipment to invest in Africa and start a project here, because that's the way it works, and then pay back the United States eventually, hopefully. That's the way that it works. And most people don't know about that because people are not educated in that way, and therefore that is why everyone's stuck in this, and it's a heavy system. I mean, it is a very heavily integrated oppressive system. There's many social aspects through media, through the medical system, etc., that are controlling this. But that's the only way that people can truly break out. And that point, at that point where you do break out, you look at everybody else, and then when you try to tell them, they often attack you. Eventually, that's how the system works. That's why it's so brilliant. When you start getting to that sort of the top sort of 5% range, you start going, you know what, most people don't even want to hear what I've got to say. That's
so
the sad part about it.
You're saying we could milk a lot of money if we got into cattle. Question for you,
lots of things. I mean, there's many other things. I mean, Elon Musk, for example, is